and hearts are mended in the presence of the King. We're in the presence of Jehovah God. It's in the presence of Jehovah God Almighty, our Prince of Peace, our troubles vanish.
With a wonderful message. God bless you. It's good to be in church. Let's stand, please. This is 164 if you don't know it.
I looked over Jordan and what did I see? Just coming for to carry me home. Oh, a band of angels coming after me. They were coming for to carry me home. Oh, swing your sweet chariot, just coming for to carry me home. Oh, swing low, sweet chariot, you're coming for to carry me home. If you get there before I do, coming for to carry me home. Tell all my friends I'm a coming to. Just coming for to carry me home. Oh, sweet Lord, oh, sweet chariot, oh, coming for to carry me home. Oh, sweet Lord, sweet chariot, oh, coming for to carry me home. I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Oh, swing low, sweet chariot, oh, coming for to carry me home. Oh, swing low, sweet chariot, oh, coming for to carry me home. Oh, swing low, if you get there before I do, coming for to carry me home. Tell all my friends I'm coming to, coming for to carry me home. Oh, swing low, chariot, oh, coming for. Yeah. He will supply. We'll walk together, my Lord and I. Oh, I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. Oh, I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. I'm gonna claim His promise. He will supply, and we'll walk together, my Lord and I. I'm gonna stand for Jesus.
Oh, is that your testimony tonight? Why don't we sing it again together? I'll stand for Jesus. God bless you richly. Good to be in service again tonight. And just wanted to announce again, Lord willing, we'll be having our youth Bible study Thursday, January the 31st, and our annual elections, Lord willing, on Sunday morning, February the 3rd. And Sister Cheryl's grandson, Daniel, we had prayed for him this morning. He was having a lot of pain in his legs, and he just wanted to testify and thank the Lord for healing his legs after prayer this morning. So we want to praise the Lord for that. And then got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. Brother John Madoku, who was here and greeted you briefly Wednesday night from Togo, he's going to be traveling home in the morning. So I want to remember him in prayer for traveling mercies. And then Sister Cheryl's grandson, Josiah, has an ear infection. I want to remember him in prayer. And Sister Gloria Soderquist is not feeling well this evening, so I want to remember her. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests? You like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand. Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Brother David Eplin, would you come and just take these prayer requests before the Lord in prayer for us this evening?
Can we pray? Dear Lord, thank you for another opportunity to gather and worship you tonight, Lord. Thank you for that service we had this morning, Lord, and just ask that in all our motives there be nothing selfish in them, but we just point people to you, Lord. And Lord, these requests tonight, the brother that's traveling home, we ask that you give him traveling mercies, Lord, and help him spread your word to the people back in his host country, Lord. We know that there'll be a time when it'll be the last one coming, Lord, and maybe that's the one, God, so please be with him. Sister Layton's grandchild that's sick, we ask you to look after him. And Lord, Sister Soderquist as well, not feeling well. Please touch her like only you can do. And Lord, for the service tonight, we ask that you be with Brother Trevor and anoint him, Lord, for what he has to share with us. And help our hearts to be open to receive the revelation that you have for us, Lord, so that we can grow deeper in our relationship with you. All these things we ask in your name. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Sister Chloe. The Eamon family had given us a CD and requested that she try this song, so...
Shining in my heart.
Amen. I believe somebody needed to hear about that a couple extra times. Amen. God is good. God bless you, Sister Chloe. At this time, we have a special from Brother Nathan. God bless you.
Well, if you weren't convinced that you need to let your light shine, amen, you should be now. Amen. Wonderful job, Chloe. Man, it's not easy following her. Well, it's my wife's birthday in a few days, and so every year she asks me to sing this song. And I usually play it on the piano, but I asked Sister Stephanie if she'd help me tonight. So most of you probably know it if you've been coming a few years, so help me sing it if you do. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show,
to be thankful for, don't we? This time we have a special from Sister Christy, Luke, and Stephanie Harabasic, and myself and Brother Nathan, we're going to try to sing for y'all tonight. So you pray for us.
A ship upon
Amen. Is that your prayer this evening?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. So I got a song that really blessed me, and a special sister that I happen to know really good asked me if we'd try this tonight, so Sister April. But I believe it'll bless you. It does mean a lot to me. When you can sing this with truly no longer being a slave to fear, you can sing it a little differently. I believe it'll mean something to you. So I'm going to put the words up here. You just help me out. Amen.
You unravel me, Lord, with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, yes, I am a child.
Stand and sing it that way again.
You split the sea so I could walk right through it. You drowned my fears in perfect love. You rescued me and I will stand and see. I am a child of God. Oh, I'm no I'm no longer a slave to fear.
not in those denominations anymore, and we say, I am a child of God. We're not in a fear-based religion anymore. I am a child of God. Amen. Give him a hand clap of praise. He's good to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. It's good to be with you again tonight. Good to be in church. I do want to say, this morning, while you're standing, why don't we read a scripture and then maybe we can have some more comments. Revelations chapter 1 is our text. We will be for a little bit. Revelations chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14. Let's start at verse 12. I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Can we just bow for a word of prayer? Father, Lord, we begin to see a picture that John is seeing, and it's a picture of you, Lord. And each one of these types, each one of these symbols or these word pictures means something very deep to us, Lord. And I pray that, Father, we would look unto you tonight, that we would look to Christ, the Son of Man, and that we would see what John was seeing, that we would understand you and know you more. Lord, you're the great I am. You're the author of all life. Lord, we want to tell you we love you, and we ask your presence amongst us and move in our midst. We ask it, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 You may be seated. After Brother Nathan was preaching this morning, I felt like there's like 50 sermons that one could preach after that. And it was so good. To be honest, I feel like not that there's really any bad ones, but one of the best I've heard from our brother. At least for me, it spoke to me, and I appreciate it so much. And I know that there were no Jericho marches going on. There was no, nobody was running the aisles, and many times we feel like those are the services, right? When people are running the aisles and people are dancing in the front and things like that. But tonight we're going to talk a little bit through our text about an experience that Brother Branham had. And after this very powerful experience where he's really, if you listen to his language, he's almost comparing it to Moses in front of the burning bush. And this is an experience that Brother Branham has just had. And of that experience, he said, now someone said to me, did you not feel like shouting? No, I didn't feel like shouting. Those experiences never make you feel like shouting. They just make you feel anchored. Amen. Just where that, you know, there's something that tells you, just a satisfied feeling. And I felt that was what I felt like from this morning. Maybe it wasn't something that we were shouting about, but it was certainly something that anchored us and could anchor us really good, and something that you could really look in the inside of your heart and, am I being selfish? Do I just want to be right? How do I perceive others because of the selfishness of my own heart? And it really, you know, that's what being a child of God is about. Amen. Is to get all of me out and let him come in. And you know, the thoughts of the heart run deep, the scripture says. And sometimes it really takes sitting there and pondering it to really find out what your own heart is trying to do and trying to say. So, amen. So I appreciated that this morning. So let's go over our questions from chapter 11. John did not say it was a trumpet. He said it was as a trumpet or like a trumpet. You will recognize that voice when he calls if you're one of his own. Not everyone recognizes that voice. He calls everyone, but only certain ones recognize that voice. Do we know who that is? Well, I know it was me, but do I know that about anyone else? No, we don't get to see that. That's how election works. We don't get to say it's this person or that. He says that because of foreknowledge, because he knows, because he's great like that. If you can ever really get to see blank, you will be seeing Jesus. Amen. That is a very powerful one. If you get to see the word, you'll be seeing Jesus. Amen. So describe how, you don't have to answer this one. We'll just go through it. Describe how the lamps were lit and in what order. So they took the fire from the altar and the first lamp was lit. And then from that lamp, they lit the second lamp from the flame of the first lamp. And then the third lamp was lit from the flame of the second, and on until all seven were lit. And don't forget that this, they're all drawing from the same oil, right? It's the same Holy Ghost, but the fire comes from off the altar and it lights the first church age. And then from that first church age, the second is lit. And then on through until the seventh church age is lit. What a beautiful picture that is. So denominations which are man-directed cannot be born of God. God has children, not denominations.
Amen.
Amen. So denominations cannot be born of God because they're man-directed. Is your life dramatically depicted in the seven golden candlesticks? Yes, if you are a believer. Who else is depicted in the seven golden candlesticks? So you got an either or on this one, because we were going through this and my daughter was like, no, it's, I think I just had just each messenger. And my daughter said, no, it's every true believer. And I was like, no, that's not right. And then I read and she showed me in the book where it said that. And I was like, oh, we need to add that too. So even Gloriana's getting in on the editing process here. So yeah, so if you had, he says both of them. So if you just put down one of them and didn't catch the second one, that's fine. But either or will work, or both will be fine. So here we are, the moment you've all been waiting for, our memorization section with words taken out. And it's probably too early for that. But, you know, the real good students are already there and already have it memorized. And not me, but the real good students brought their books and can just read it out of the books instead of trying to rely on the slides. That's nice. So, as we recite together, every true believer is in the hand of God and can draw from his love and power and receive the full benefit of all that God is to the believer. What God gives the messenger and how he blesses and uses the messenger is an example to all believers of his goodness and care to all members of his body. Amen. So, then we come to our scripture, and we see, we're going to see, I guess, three or four things here. We're going to see that he's clothed with a garment down to the foot, that he's girt about the paps with a golden girdle, that his head and his hairs are white as wool, white as snow, and his eyes are as a flame of fire. So what is it that we're talking about here? Why? What is John seeing, and what... what are we doing? Well, if you remember, basically what we're doing, what Brother Branham is doing through this book, is just going verse by verse from Revelations 1 to Revelations chapter 3. He's just taking it verse by verse. So that's what we're doing here. So if you remember, John was there and having this vision, and he hears a voice as a trumpet. And then he turns to look to see the voice, and he sees one like a son of man coming. And then now he's beginning to describe the son of man. And it's a really good thing, too, because, you know, when someone is there telling us something, who they are matters. Right? Amen. You know, if a little child is telling you, you need to go do this, well, you'd be like, thanks, that's cute, you know. But, you know, someone who you respect, someone who maybe you're, has authority over you in some way, says, you need to go do this. And you're like, yes, sir. Because of who they are. And because of the status they've earned for whatever reason, That gives you a bit more respect and a bit more reason to believe who to do what they're telling you to do. So who they are matter. So God is presenting himself in a certain way. And John is writing down these symbols and these pictures of what he's seeing. And he's describing the Son of Man for us. And so we can find out who he is a little bit more by that. So we find out that this, earlier we found out this was Jesus. We find out that he was the first and last. He was the Alpha and Omega. He is absolutely deity. And so we continue on then, now that he's clothed with a garment down to the foot. So in this, for the next few lessons here, I want you to just begin picturing Christ in your mind through all of these things. So he's clothed with a garment from the head all the way down to the foot. So what does that make you think of? It should make you think of a robe. He should have some kind of robe on because he's clothed from down to the foot, all the way down. He's clothed with this. And what does that mean? If he has a robe, what does that mean? And Brother Branham is telling us that it means he had complete authority, head to toe, from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. He has authority. Every fiber of him is authority. So then we continue on and we combine this now. He's girt about the paps with a golden girdle. So what is the word picture here? So we have to understand two words that are not really in use in contemporary language anymore. And that is girdle and paps. And what are these two things? Well, Brother Branham begins to break this down for us. And he will find out that he is a judge. And what we're going to find out is that he's going to have a shawl, or that girdle will be a shawl around his shoulders, and it'll be around his shoulders because of the paps of the breast. So if you have something around your shoulders, it will cover your chest right here as well. And so that is what he's girt about the paps with a golden girdle. So we're going to find that it's something like this. And we just say thank you to the internet for providing such wonderful, it's the best I could find. You know, I actually thought about, you know, trying to find a costume on Amazon, and then I just thought that would be going a little too far if I was dressed like this trying to teach this lesson, that nobody would get a thing out of the lesson at all, and so I decided not to do that. You're welcome. So what we begin to see then is this robe, and this guy has a red robe on, and he has a white girdle about his paps or around the shoulders. And what Brother Branham begins to tell us is what is this beginning to put together for us? Is that he is a judge. That he is a judge. So he tells us about this girdle. You know, when he was a priest, he had it around his waist. This same garment would have been tied around his waist. Why? Because a priest is in service. So a priest would have a garment there. Just, you know, he's it's like an apron. He's killing the sacrifices for the people, so he is in service to those people. But at some point in time, that garment comes off, and he's no longer girt about the waist as a servant, but he's now girt about the shoulders with a girdle, telling you that he is no longer that servant. He is no longer that priest, but now he's sitting as a judge. Amen? So this is, I thought it was very interesting this morning. Brother Layton read Psalm 58 and the last verse there that we read together. So that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judgeth in the earth. So Scripture makes it very plain that at some point in time that God will be a judge. It also says, shall not the judge of earth do right? So there's a time, and many people don't want to think about this, but there is a time that God is going to come and be a judge. Now, right now, he's a high priest, and he sits there making intercessions for you with groanings which cannot be uttered. He is there interceding for you, and everyone wants to leave him there. We want him firmly placed on the mercy seat. We don't want him to get up off that mercy seat. We don't want him to become a judge. But there's coming a day that he's going to be a judge. And if you're a Christian, if you believe the Bible, you understand that this is truth. And just like we were talking a little bit ago, you know, the thoughts of the heart run very, very deep. And we have to really start getting down deep and start going, do I believe that there's a time coming that he's going to be a judge? And if I believe, and I'm not trying to scare you or preach fear or anything else, but I am, again, this is just truth, that God will at some point in time become a judge. And that there are people who are going to stand before him and be judged for their deeds. Now, if you're found in Jesus Christ, if you're found with the Holy Ghost, you've already been judged. Why? Because you already judged yourself here on this earth. And when you judged yourself, you found something very important out about yourself. What did you find? That you're not as good as you wanted to believe. You judged yourself and said, I'm bad. I'm all bad. There's nothing good in me. Nothing good that I have done. Nothing in my arms I bring. Simply to your cross I cling. God, I judge myself a worthless wretch in your sight. So you decide when you want to be judged. This is really, it's really quite simple. This is truth. This train is on the tracks. It's moving. You either decide I'm going to be judged now or I'm going to be judged in the future. Now there's mercy. Now he's sitting there as a priest. And he's making intercession for you now when you're like, Lord, I know I'm just terrible and I probably can't even tell you how terrible I am. And he says, I know, and don't worry. And so you have to decide, am I going to be judged now or am I going to be judged later? Because you have to get that down there and real deep and understand he is going to come as a judge. And so this is the girdle tied around his shoulders. Now we're going to see in the Revelations here that it's not going to be a nice white fluffy one here, but it's going to be a golden girdle. We know that that symbolizes deity. Amen. So another thing to someone who's really, really paying attention right now, we have to understand what day is John in? John is in the Lord's Day. Which day? What day is that? Was that judgment? That's the day of the Lord. So the day of the Lord is the day of judgment. But John's in the Spirit in the Lord's Day. So John's in the Spirit in the rest. He's in the millennium time period. God, they picked him up by the Spirit, places him in this point in time, and now John is seeing these things from this time. So we have to ask ourselves, why then do we see him as a judge? What he shouldn't be a judge right now. He should be sitting, you know, with us. But remember, John is there, he can kind of see both, you know, coming and going, because he's in the Spirit and he's a prophet. So now John is seeing, though he's in the Lord's day, he's seeing him come as if he was in the day of the Lord, as if he was in the day of judgment. So don't let yourself get confused there, because he hasn't returned with his bride yet at this point in the book of Revelations to sit with, to be on in the millennium with his bride. Amen? We're together? Did that point confuse everyone, or maybe? Hopefully not. I don't know, because I had that thought. I was just like, wait a second. He shouldn't be a judge because we're in the Lord's day. But you have to understand that prophet can see both ways. Amen. So he's seeing him as a judge now. Amen. So here we go. Let's go on to the next little section. We've talked about the garment. We've talked about his girdle around his shoulders. Now that his head and hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. So, I mean, this is an obvious word picture. Who has white hair? People who are old, right? Is that the word picture? Is that the word picture? Brother Branham has the same question, actually, if you had the same question and thought maybe it's old people, well, or Jesus be as old. Brother Branham says in A Thinking Man's Filter, when I called my good friend Jack Moore a few months later to ask, when I started to preach the seven church ages, Revelations 1, and he was standing white all over, his hair was like wool. How could he, being yet 33 years old, and be white all over? And Brother Moore, a very fine, cultured Christian gentleman and a scholar, one of the best that I know of, and he said, Brother Branham, that was Jesus after his glorified condition. That's the way he looks now. But that didn't ring a bell with me. So Brother Branham has a question. He's sitting there wondering. He he's searching this out, and he talks about this as he's going to preach the seven church ages, and he's looking at this and he's wondering, you know, why? What is the white hair? I don't understand. And so Brother Branham, you know, we so often forget that Brother Branham studied just like any other minister studied. Amen. He called friends and asked them, hey, do you understand this? Do you know what this is? You got any insight on this? But then he also has a little bit something that maybe a lot of the rest of us don't have, and that's a lot of times an angel comes in the room and just says, oh, it's this. Right. And then he goes and studies and cross-references in Scripture and finds out if that angel is saying exactly what the Scripture says. And amen? So we forget that sometimes. But Brother Moore said, no, it's not that he's old, but he's in a glorified condition. And Brother Branham says, but that doesn't ring a bell now. What really is it? So Brother Branham begins to cross-reference it in the Scripture, and he winds up in Daniel chapter 7 and verses 9 through 14. And if you want to turn there, you can. If not, we have it on the slides. So Daniel chapter 7, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. Sounds familiar, right? Okay, his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000s times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Okay, so we have hair white as wool, and he's sitting in judgment, right? I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory. This is the one like the Son of Man. Given him dominion and glory and a kingdom and all that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. See, we should have just spontaneously started clapping at some of that, you know, because the beast was going to be destroyed, and that's a wonderful thing. And then the one like the Son of Man is going to come, and he's going to be given dominion, and everyone's going to serve him. And this is truly a picture of triumph. This is a picture of triumph. But, so hold that in your mind about the Son of Man, because we'll come back to that. But right now, what are we looking at? We're looking at the first couple of verses because of the hair white as wool. And we say, see, Ancient of Days, white hair means he's really, really, really old. Because Ancient of Days means really, really, really old. Is that what it means? Nope, that's not what it means. So Brother Branham says, now notice in the Patmos vision, he says, the first thing now we notice, his head and his hair white like wool. His head and his hair was white like wool. Now it does not mean that he was aged that did this. That wasn't the reason of it. He wasn't aged to do this. It was because of experience and qualification and his wisdom, because he's eternal, and eternal cannot age. Okay. So if the Ancient of Days is eternal, then it has nothing to do. The white hair has nothing to do with age. Amen? So what does it mean? So this doesn't mean that he's old. It means it's a symbol of wisdom experience. So now we turn our eyes and we start looking. This is a judge's wig. We've got, this is the picture that we're getting. All of these three things together, they're telling us he is coming as a judge. So we put all these things together, and so what Brother Branham begins to explain to us is that in the old days, there in England, you would see them with a white wig on. Even men that were 30 years old, when they went into Parliament or when they went to sit as a judge, they would put this white wig on. Why? Because it was a symbol of their wisdom and their experience. And so we put these three things together, and we totally understand that he is coming as a judge. Amen? You see, last time we talked, some of you came to me and says, you know, was the point about Jesus, this message, the point was about Jesus? Amen, the point was about Jesus. And tonight, the point is that he's sitting as a judge. He said, and you said, this is very, very basic. Well, yes, but now that I've gone through that, you will never think the white hair is because he's really old. All right? We've gone through it. And there's no way. Okay, so we want to put... And I'll just tell you something right now. This is going to be one of the shorter church services unless something really happens quick. This is going to be one of the shorter church services you'll probably have this year because I just wanted to do one lesson and just how I'm breaking up the next few. But so it doesn't mean that he's old. It's a symbol of wisdom and experience. So we begin then to think. We just talked about white hair. We just talked about in Daniel chapter 7 then, we talked about one like the Son of Man coming in clouds. So we begin to say coming in clouds of glory, Son of Man, and hair like wool. What does this, there's something, that's something that that just makes me think of. There's something that just really, I just really start to think about this. Now you're not going to see Brother Branham talking about this in the Patmos vision when he's preaching it. He's not really even referencing it a whole lot in the church age book because you have to remember when he preached this, you have to remember when they started writing this, and you have to understand when this happened. As he preached it in the end of 1960, and this didn't happen until 1963, and we didn't have this picture until May of 1963. Right? So it's a little harder to get that put in the book when you've already been writing it. So we understand that, right? But these references Brother Branham will make then, later in Thinking Man's Filter, he'll talk about it. In Message of Grace, he'll talk about it. So what we understand then is, let's just go back here to this picture, is what are these things telling us? They're telling us that he's deity. They're telling us that he has wisdom, he has experience, and that, yes, he is sitting as a judge. But what is a judge's position? A judge's position is supreme authority. Supreme authority. Not only that he's a judge, but he's not just, you know, he is the end of the chain. You know, here in the U.S., you can go to county, you can go to state, you can go to, you know, I don't know, Ninth Circuit or whatever, and then you can go to Supreme Court, and even then maybe you can appeal. But you know what? At some point in time, it comes to a great I Am who is the supreme authority. There's no appeals after that process. That, look, when he says it, that's the way it is. When he judges, it's absolutely true. There doesn't have to be a jury when Jesus Christ judges. That's not a picture of Jesus. Let me pull up a picture of Jesus here so that I can point to not that guy. Okay, let me say that again. When he judges, when that one judges, he doesn't need a jury. That one never makes a false judgment. He never goes, oh, I didn't have enough evidence. No, he knows the end from the beginning. That judge has supreme authority. And what's wonderful about that is we can absolutely trust his judgment. As I've said before, you know, we don't have to worry because he's a righteous God. He's a good God. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the heart of every person. We do not have to worry about, well, but maybe he's going to say this person needs to go to hell. I tell you, you want them there then. Because he's only doing it because of justice, because of holiness, and because he's righteous. Amen. Amen? So he is the supreme authority. There is no other after this. He is all of it. Now, Brother Branham says, as he, talking in Thinking Man's Filter, he says, later on, when we got through, and he says, the sermon, we went out west, and when the angel of the Lord appeared out there for the seven seals, and it went into the air, which we have a picture of it here and around the country, there he was, standing there, still wigged with that supreme authority. He is the head of the church. He's the head of the body. There is nothing like him anywhere. Amen. Amen. Now, so we recall Daniel chapter 7 then. The Ancient of Days sitting there with hair white like wool. Right? And then they see the Son of Man coming. And now again, we have to go back to what we learned about Godhead. Is it three? Is it one? Is it somewhere? What is it? How can the Ancient of Days be sitting there and one like the Son of Man coming in clouds of glory? Right? Right, because God created a body to dwell in. And Daniel sees this body coming. John now sees him there. And as even as our brother Nathan preached a little bit ago about judging, in John chapter 5, verse 21, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. So now we had the Ancient of Days sitting there. But now what we're trying to say here is that the Son of Man is dressed with a wig, white, going to be the judge. So which one is it going to be? Well, he is the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days created a body so that the Ancient of Days could live in it. And then the Ancient of Days stepped in that body. And now if you're ever going to see God, you're going to see it through Jesus Christ. He is now the expression of God. He's now the manifestation of God. Was he back then? No, not until he created the body. But once he created the body and stepped into it, that was his expression to you and I. And so now we see the Son of Man coming in clouds of glory. Now we see the Son of Man coming in clouds of glory. Because you're a message believer, you believe this. Amen? So you see him coming now. He's come in a cloud of glory. And so, but yet, what is his form here? What is he presenting to the earth here? Because what we see is, we know there's seven angels, but what do we see? We see the white wig. What is that telling us? He's telling us that he's supreme authority. Not just that he's judge, but that he's supreme authority. He can judge, and he is judge, because he has supreme authority. So, if that is true, that this is the symbol of supreme authority, and remember what's going on here. When did this cloud come down? When did the Son of Man come in clouds of glory? As it says in Daniel chapter 7, as it says in Revelation chapter 10 and verse 1, when did this happen? It's a year. You could just give me the year. 1963. Yeah. That wasn't a trick question. Sorry. You guys get gun shy, I guess. 1963. He comes in clouds of glory. He's got his, we see this white wig. White like wool. What is he doing? He's now giving Brother Branham a commission to go and preach the seven seals. When he's going to preach the seven seals, he'll tell us in the Church Age book, we'll read it later, that it was going to do two things. That it was going to restore the hearts of the fathers back to the children and to reveal those seven thunders, which are the mysteries contained in the seals. So the supreme authority comes down and he gives a prophet a commission to go and preach these things, to go and fulfill his scripture. God's scripture. You understand what I'm saying, right? So the supreme authority comes down and says, go and preach this. And then we have a picture of it to prove to us that this is who that is. So when we begin to wonder, you know, is this message true? Is this really the thing? Is everybody saved? Or, you know, the supreme authority came down and sent William Branham to preach these things to us. Can I say that again? I said the supreme authority. Do we understand what supreme authority is? Amen. This is serious. This is everything. And that one, that supreme authority, came down and sent William Branham to preach those seven seals. And then sometimes we, you know, well, is that doctrine true? Is that doctrine right? Like, I don't care at this point. Because if the supreme authority is going to come down and send someone and tell him, preach this, hey, yes, Lord, whatever he says, because you sent him. And if you as the supreme authority sent this man to tell him this, man, okay, I'm not going to get mad at the messenger. I'm not going to get mad at the supreme authority. I'm just going to say, yes, sir. I'm going to get in line. Where's that body of believers? I'll stay in line, little bride. Yes, sir. Amen. I'll stay in line. Why? Because it's a supreme authority. Amen. To do otherwise is crazy. You're to do otherwise is literally to hate yourself. Amen. So he comes in clouds. He gives us a message. That message is with authority. So, John, we begin to see who this man is. that's coming to speak to John, to give him these revelations, to have him write these things down. And we understand then that these things are written as word pictures, that it's going to take a prophet, that prophet out of Revelations 10:7, to reveal these things to us. Amen? We're together? Okay, so we move on then to his eyes were as a flame of fire. His eyes were as a flame of fire. So again, you know, I mean, I don't have a picture of that one. I just had a picture of the white wig, but I didn't have a picture of eyes flame as fire. But we can understand this. What does that mean? You know, children, young people, you ever had your parents look at you and you think, their eyes are like flames of fire? What does that mean? What does that mean? That means trouble for you. Why? Because you did something and you being judged. So what is the... It's very obvious to us at this point in time who this is. He is now showing us every single symbol that he can show us that this man is supreme authority. That this man who is going to come and give these revelations is the judge of all the earth. Amen? Now, you're going to find... in this week's assignment, and we'll just go to this slide. There we go. See, I told you it was going to be short. We're almost done. So your assignment is going to be lesson 12 and your memorization work. But you're going to find this in this assignment. I could talk more about the eyes as a flame of fire, but what I'd rather do is talk more about that on the next lesson, because you're going to find a question that even my wife thought was way too hard, because you really have to think about it. You really are going to have to think about it. See, I could give you the answer now, and that would just be easy, but I want you to understand that his eyes are as a flame of fire, and those eyes are in judgment. And what I'll start by is you know, what does that tell us? You know, if you were to tell your friends, maybe coworkers or unbelievers, and say, yeah, you know what, there's coming a day when his eyes are going to be as flames of fire, what are they going to be? Do you think most of the time are you going to go, oh yeah, man, you're right, I need to repent? That doesn't happen very often. Most of the time, the reaction that you get from people, if you were to tell them that there's a day coming when his eyes are going to be flames of fire, the reaction that you're going to get is, he is so mean. He's so judgmental. He's so vindictive. I serve a nice God. No, you really serve a figment of your imagination, actually. But my God wouldn't be like that because you've created him. Yes, we get it. So you're your own God. We understand. But you see, that's what they'll say. And that's what they'll do, is to try to tell you that, no, he's mean. See, that's the way it is. But we can't forget something. And one of the beautiful passages here in the Church Age book that we'll find is those eyes that are now flames of fire once wept tears for you. And so one of those really hard questions is what does that mean to you? How does that make you feel? What does that mean to you? That yes, there's a time coming when his eyes are going to be flames of fire, but yet before that point, he wept for you. And Brother Randy even tells us in our lesson here that the emotion... Well, that's one of the questions. You'll have to answer that. But the emotion that he displayed the most was sadness, was weeping for you and I while he was here on the earth. So don't let anybody tell you your God is just vindictive and judgment and mean, because that same God died for me. He died for you. He died for the world. Amen? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, just a shorter lesson, but Lord, I'm just reminded of what Brother Branham says many, many times about the stamp, and it's what's on it that was important. And Lord, we understand that there's supreme authority behind this message, that there's one who is a supreme authority that will judge all of the earth one day. God, as we talked about, we want to be found in judgment now. Lord, we want to judge ourselves so that you don't have to later. Lord, I pray that we would really think about this principle as we go and as your spirit, as we just worship you for here for a little bit. Lord, I pray that we'd really be in earnest, Lord, for we understand the time is late. Maybe there's some that haven't fully surrendered their hearts here tonight. Maybe there's some that have been living their lives as just kind of whatever, just kind of coasting in the message lifestyle and not realizing that there's a day at hand and an appointed day of judgment that you will have the white wig on and the garments and the eyes as flames of fire. Father, I don't want you looking at me like that. I want you to be looking at me with eyes of tenderness and care and love because I'm a part of your bride. Father, we want to find ourselves in step with the bride, to stay in line with what you've taught us in this message. Oh God, we're so thankful for it. Lord, it's truly the tender hand of Jehovah to bring us to this point. So Father, we want to tell you we love you. We want to thank you. Father, I pray that you would speak to each heart that's here, Lord. Lord, if there's some that need conviction, that need that motivation, Father, I pray that you give it to them. Lord, we just want to be right and ready for your soon coming. Lord, make our homes homes of prayer. Make our lives lives of prayer. Father, I've just been convinced so much lately. I don't pray enough. I don't seek you enough, Lord, not as in works, but Father, how could I ever, to really think about it, how could I ever seek your face enough? Lord, if my testimony is that I love you, Lord, I want to speak to you more. Lord, if I want to display your character to this world, Lord, I want more of your character to rub off on me. I want to be around you so much, God, that how you act and how you do things, that I just become, Lord, so infused by it that I start doing the same things. Lord, I pray that that would be the desire in every single heart. Lord, we bless your name, the wonderful and lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. You appreciate that tonight. I'm thankful there's still grace, aren't you? Amen. One day he'll be sitting as a judge, but amen. While there's still grace, why don't you receive it if you haven't? Amen. You can keep playing that softly if you want, sister. Brother Trevor was talking there and showing the pictures and things. It just reminded me once again, you know, either you believe this or you don't. It's as simple as that. You say, well, I believe, but I just don't know about this, and I just don't know about that. No, then you're not a believer. Hello? You can't say, well, I believe the Bible, but I just think that certain scriptures aren't inspired, or that we just don't have to do this, or we don't have to do that. No, you're not a real Christian if you don't really believe what the Bible says. The Bible's not a smorgasbord that we can go and we can pick, well, I like this scripture, but this one over here, that's a little too hard for me to live, and I like the verses about Jesus doing things for me, but when I have to do things for others, I don't like those scriptures. A real Christian can say amen to all the word. Amen. And a real believer, the message is not a smorgasbord. It's not that we pick the parts that we like, the parts that rub our doctrine the right way, or the parts that we've got all figured out and can understand and make intellectual sense to us. A believer believes. A believer believes. You know, this picture that he showed tonight has been so criticized around the world by many people that used to believe the message. They make fun of it and they have all kinds of ideas and they'll tell you all kinds of things and all kinds of details. It's like I've said before, like the shell game. They're wanting you to look at something over here and you fail to miss what's going on over here. And I just don't have enough faith in coincidence to believe that a prophet of God would come and say he was going to go out west and the angels were going to visit him, and he was going to come back and preach the seals. And then he comes back and he preaches them. And then months later, he didn't have this picture when he preached the seals. It hadn't been printed yet. But months later, in May of the same year, the picture comes out, and he begins to explain to the people what that was. I don't have enough faith in coincidence just to think that that was something random that happened, to, you know, just happened to take place. They just happened to set off a rocket, or there just happened to be a constellation or a cloud or whatever it was just come together around the same time that he was out there and God was doing this. And it just happened to look just like Jesus. And it just happened that you can just overlay it exactly with the Hoffman's head of Christ, and it just happens to look exactly the same. And somebody said, oh, Brother Nathan said, he never even said the word cloud there when he came, and it serves, is this the sign? And the end of 1962, he never once says the word cloud till he comes back and shows us the picture. That's right. He didn't say cloud. He said a constellation of angels. A pyramid constellation of angels. Pyramid shaped. Oh my, either you see it or you don't see it. Either you believe it or you don't believe it. People struggle and they scratch their heads and they look and wonder. I'm thankful that I can believe. I'm thankful. That doesn't, if you don't see that, if there's people in your family or people that are your friends that don't see that, that doesn't make me hate them. It doesn't make me despise them. Amen. I'll still pray for them and hope that God shows them. But it does make me feel sorry for them because I see it. And I see it so plainly, I can't see anything else when I look at those things. Amen. They hear deception and they hear all kinds of things, and all I hear is love being projected. They hear a woman hater, and I hear a man that pays women some of the highest compliments I've ever heard. They hear two different things. They hear something different than I do. They see something different than I do. I'm so thankful for what God has did in this age. If God hadn't sent a prophet in this age, Brother Trevor and me and Brother Layton and Brother Hoover, we'd still be telling you about how to baptize in titles, and we'd be inviting Sister So-and-so from down the street to come hold a revival for us sometime, and we'd be doing all kinds of things that were contrary to the Scripture, not because we wanted to be wrong, but because the truth hadn't been restored yet. But I'm thankful tonight. I'm not ashamed of it. I know some people get ashamed of it. Oh, don't say that, or don't get it. You'll hurt somebody's feelings. You'll offend somebody. I'm not ashamed of this. If that offends somebody, then I'm sorry. You're probably sitting in the wrong church if any of this offended you tonight. Amen. We love the Lord Jesus. Amen. We don't lift Brother Branham up and try to worship him, but I thank God that Jesus Christ commissioned a prophet in this age to call out a bride. You say, I don't believe God works like that. Well, then you haven't read your Bible very closely, because he worked like that in every age. In every age. Amen. I believe it's appropriate for us to sing this tonight. Why don't we stand together and sing it? Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? For I've accepted sing it with all your heart tonight. Oh, can't you see why I'm happy? Oh, I've accepted not the words of a man. You're not feeding on the words of man. Oh, but the revealed word that was spoken. Brother Bam said, the body word of the Son of Man, of the prophet of mankind. Amen. Let's sing this together tonight. Oh Lord, 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 you surely been good to me. Oh Lord, 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 you surely been good. Oh Lord, you saved my soul when I was lost. You surely been good to me. Lord, you saved my soul when I was lost. You surely been good to me. Oh, you saved my soul when I was lost. You
surely been good to me. Lord, you have done what this world could never do. Oh, Lord. Oh, has he been good to you? Oh, then you filled me with the Holy Ghost. You've surely been good to me. Lord, you filled me with the Holy Ghost. You sure, oh, he's been good to me, church. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. He's surely been good to me. Oh, he has done what this world could never do. Oh, Lord, 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 you surely been. Showed me the message, gave me peace. Surely been good to me. Lord, you showed me the message, gave me peace. Surely been good to you. You showed me the message, gave me peace. Surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. Oh, Lord, 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 you surely been good to me. Oh, Lord. Surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. Lord, you've done much more than I deserve. Surely been good to me. Lord, you've done much more than I deserve. Surely been good to me. You've done much more than I deserve. Surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. Oh, then you gave me the token for my family. Surely been good to me. You gave me the token for my family. You surely been good to me. Lord, you gave a token for my family. Surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. Oh, Lord, Lord, you surely been good to me. Oh, Lord. Been good to me. Oh Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. Oh, then you healed my body when I was sick. You've surely been good to me. Lord, you healed my body when I was sick. You've surely been good to me. Oh, you healed my body when I was sick. You've surely been good to me. Lord, you have done what this world could never do. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Has he been good to you?
Amen.
Amen. I don't care what you're going through tonight. Don't get me wrong. I don't mean that I don't care in a way that I just don't care for you. But let me finish my sentence. No matter what you're going through tonight, he's been good to you. No matter what your family situation right now, no matter what your bank account statement is, no matter what the doctor has said to you, no matter what your family and your friends and your coworkers say about you, he has been good to you. He has been good to you. He's done more than we deserve. He's been better to me than I deserve. Amen. You might have complaints in life, but we have no right to complain about him and what he's done for us. He's been good to us. Amen. When I weigh the trials and the tribulations and the disappointments up against all the things that he's done for me, it just keeps stacking higher and higher and higher, and these keep seeming smaller and smaller and less significant. He's done so much for me. He's been so good to me. Amen. Is that how you feel tonight? Amen. Brother Hoover, why don't you come dismiss us in a word of prayer before we go tonight? Amen.
Don't you just love how rich the word is? Every line. The nugget in every line. Getting a better picture of where Brother Branham said, no matter where you turn in the Bible, if you can't see Jesus, get down and talk to him again. It's not Brother Trevor. It's what he's teaching us that's so good. He's doing a fantastic job, but it's not our brother. It's the word that's flowing through him. It's delicious. It's better than ice cream. Better than steak and potato. I got to stop. As the old fellow said, it keeps getting gooder and gooder and gooder. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just can't find the words to express ourselves and say exactly how we feel right now. Our heart's overflowing, Lord Jesus, because of your goodness, because of your grace, because of your mercy, because of your love, because of your compassion that you would come down and die for people like me. Lord, I still don't understand it, but I sure do believe it. I thank you, Lord, for a brother like Brother Trevor that would study and show himself approved in the Word to be able to bring it in the way that he is. Lord, I thank you for using him. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Nathan having a burden on his heart to get the Word to the people like this. Lord, that we would know, Lord, not just that we believe a message, we believe a prophet, but we believe who was behind that prophet, who was behind that message. Lord, just to be able to sit here tonight and listen and know that it was the supreme authority of all the ages that sanctioned it, ordained it, and even put something down inside of us, Lord, that we would be able to receive it and accept it the way that we have. We thank you for it, Father. Lord Jesus, go with us now. Watch over us. Let these not just be idle words, Lord, or just a space of time that we filled up tonight, but Lord, may it cause, Lord, something to resonate within us and begin to emanate out of us, Lord, to those around us. Lord, Brother Trevor brought tonight, we don't have the ability to know who's seen and who's not, so we just need to tell everybody we know about it. Let you settle all the rest of it out, Lord. Pray for Brother Trevor now, Lord, that you would fill him back up, Lord, and strengthen him. And Lord, help him to understand just a little bit of what he's done for the bride here that's sitting here tonight, Lord. Just ask that you would go with him and watch over him, keep his family, Lord. Bless him, Lord, abundantly above what he can even think or ask. And Lord, as we go forth, we give you glory and praise and ask that you would use us in some small way. Further your gospel in this hour, in this day that we live. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We're about 20 or 30 minutes earlier than we normally are getting out on a Wednesday night, so I think we can have time for just one more song. Brother Furman, why don't you come sing whatever you got on your heart, brother, before you dismiss us, and let's just worship the Lord together a little bit. He's worthy of it. Amen. I think Brother Trevor is going to get Preacher of the Year if he keeps up with these short sermons. He's making the rest of us look bad. Amen. Yes, brother, go ahead. He's going to take a little more time. Sorry, I take it back.
Sorry, yeah, so after I got done, I said, you know, I read that quote, and I told them that I was going to tell them about this experience that Brother Branham had, and then I recognized, hey, you know what, I didn't bring that in. And so then I thought, I'm going to hear about that in the parking lot. Like, Brother Branham, you told us about this experience that Brother Branham had, like Moses. And then, so in the message of grace, Brother Branham is relating an experience that he's having. and it plugs right along with this message, and that he sees these three rainbows going into one pot, and he's getting closer and closer to this. And he says, I took off my hat, I was about ready to take off my shoes to see if I could get any closer to this mist. And that's what made me think about Moses, is here he is, he's coming towards this that's coming, that this supernatural thing that he's seeing, and he's thinking, like, I got to take off my shoes because the Lord told him he had come close enough. And then after he's there and he sees this, he lifts up his hands and he says, "Oh Lord, what would you have your servant know?" And the Lord screams out and says, "Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New." And it's a very important principle in this message, and that's what we're seeing when we see the Ancient of Days having the wig, and then we see the Son of Man having the same wig. What is it telling us? Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. And he says, this thing that you've been preaching, that it's absolutely correct. So God confirmed that to him there, and then we see it in the cloud, and he recognizes that is Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. So that's that story. And that's the one where he said, you know, when I didn't feel like shouting after that, that's just something that just anchors you. So, all right, God bless you.
Well, I didn't expect to get up here and sing, but this is a song I had in my heart, so I hope that it blesses somebody. Wonderful message here. You can lock me up in a prison and roll away the key and truly make us shout. Why don't you give him a hand clap of praise tonight? He's truly worthy of it. It's wonderful to be free tonight, isn't it?
Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, magnify the Lord. For he is worthy to be.
Sing it as we go.